So, today is on the liturgical calendar is normally the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, but the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops felt like Epiphany might not be available to people, work, or whatever their reasoning, so they moved it to today. But we don't want to lose the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus. So I just want to say, you know, I hope you've discovered, as I have, that there literally is power in the name of Jesus, okay? And we've been trying to bow our heads every time we speak the name out of reverence for that, but also to say, yes, there is power in the name of Jesus, okay? And so I urge you, please, in all your prayers, in the way you call out in prayer, speak that name, because it literally rains down grace to the prayers that you offer, okay? So we want to make sure the holy name of Jesus gets a shout out today. So all over the Catholic world, where we celebrate the ordinary form, is the Feast of the Epiphany today. However, in the old rite, it's on the 6th, and it will be this Wednesday, the 6th, at 6:30 p.m. There'll be a traditional Latin Mass for that offering of that on that feast. But the night before, okay, we've been doing this for a few years now. The Vigil of the Epiphany is traditionally when they will do this beautiful sacred rite for the blessing of what's nicknamed now Epiphany water, because it's only done at that time of year, the Vigil of the Epiphany. I wrote something about that. While there's no official teaching about the superiority of any sort of holy water over another, there is an opinion that is common among exorcists and emerges from their experience that using solemnly blessed holy water vexes the demons during an exorcism more than simply blessed holy water. Epiphany water is considered the most potent of holy water because it is blessed once a year on the Vigil of Epiphany and blessed using an extensive liturgy similar to Vespers. It is mixed with exorcised salt, and the exorcism over the water is lengthier. Hence, it was deemed more potent by many, especially exorcists. So that will be this Tuesday night here at 6 p.m. And in the past, we weren't trying to keep it private, but Father Z and I both said, hey, why don't we, you know, make it more public, and you all are welcome to come. I am going to have ready for Father Z 8 of the 5-gallon Culligan cooler jugs. That's a lot of Epiphany water. So we're going to be very generous with it. Father Z asked if you not bring your own containers of water. We're going to get you plenty of this stuff through all of that. The reason is because he's got to do rites over each individual one. And if, you know, you get a million of individual containers, then it's taxing to that. So anyway, so we're just going to do all of that. I got a ton of this these Culligan water coolers, so we can have plentiful Epiphany holy water. We're also going to do, I don't know how many pounds of salt, so that'll be blessed. We'll have that already. Father Z and I both determined, too, since we don't have the holy water fonts in the church, we're not allowed to have those anymore. Why not put out baskets of these little bottles? I want to show you what they look like, because I found out something cool the other day as we were researching how to order more of these. Here's the bottles they come in. Now, it's not one of those fancy schmancy holy water bottles, but I always liked that. I thought it was not easy to carry. But in the plastic industry, okay, the companies that make this, do you know what they call this kind of bottle, this size and shape? A bullet. You can't make this stuff up. So we got little bullets of Epiphany water that will be made available for people. Of course, you know I love that. So literally we're going to have thousands of these. So please, and that's Epiphany holy water. If somebody wants to tackle me after Mass for that. But anyways, but we are appreciating these sacramentals, the power of sacramentals. And we're leaning on them. And actually, we're seeing a lot of healings and miracles through these powerful sacramentals. Praise God. All right. So today is the Feast of the Epiphany. Epiphany is a word that in our modern language means that aha moment. We have a breakthrough to a new understanding. I was in the sacristy before Mass, and some of the servers who might be standing there could attest to this, but Father Z was just telling me one thing after another, and I'm going, I learned another thing. It was like in 2 minutes I learned like four things, you know, that I didn't know before. But those are little epiphanies, right? And it does apply to this. Epiphany here means the unfolding or making known the Christ child, making public, if you will, presenting it to the whole world in that definition here. But it also applies that we're understanding, we're breaking through to this new understanding. We've had a lot of those. And notice, too, that this is based around a celestial event. We just had one. We called it the Christmas star. I'm going to get to that in a second. But I want to help us all recall that we've had celestial events pretty amazing since the 100th year of Fatima, the centennial year of Fatima. Who can remember that in the centennial year of Fatima, the Revelation 12 sign appeared in the sky? So that was Mary adorned with the sun and the 12 stars around her head, and she was with child. Literally, Mary was pregnant with child through 2017 and gave birth. The Christ child came in on the feast of Christ the King the year before. And nine and a half months later, she gave birth on the feast of Padre Pio. I think I'm right about that. I might have it backwards. I don't have it in front of me. But the Revelation 12 sign appears. Do you all remember the super blue blood moon in 2018? I mean, this was a blue because it's two, anytime there's two moons in 1 month, and it's rare, but and the second one is called a blue moon. Blood because it was a total eclipse, and super because it was closer to the Earth at that time. And the interesting thing about it that I gave note to was that landed on January 31st, 2018. That's the Feast of St. John Bosco. And I contended at the time, and we were seeing even then the eruption of evil. We were kind of like, well, wait, I thought the 100 years of Satan was over. Well, what I'm contending is what we're seeing is, and this is in the book of Revelation, you can read it there, but, you know, he was put out and then he attacked violently, okay? And so the devil's trying to get back in. That's the school of thought I'm in. So God is pointing to St. John Bosco. It would be 2 months later in the month of March that a thing with the moons actually coincided with another dream that St. John Bosco had. So it's kind of like Bosco, Bosco, Bosco. Then it was this year that we all determined that we would go out to the state capitol and do a Jericho walk. That was our first one of this year, if you all remember. And we picked the Feast of St. John Bosco to do it, January 31st. I don't know if there was anything special about that. I think part of it was because we had plans to process the Eucharist and Our Lady. Because of weather threats, we didn't do the Eucharist, but we did Our Lady. But we had this huge group out there in front of the state capitol, January 31st, on the Feast of St. John Bosco this year. And if you recall, there was murmuring about this virus at that time, until we found out that that was the travel ban day. That was the first, everybody talks about January 31st. Remember President Trump? He gave a travel ban from China. So that was kind of the moment in time we went, gulp, I think this is serious. And the Feast of St. John Bosco. I want to say this. Of course, I hope we all know the dream of St. John Bosco, which is the two pillars. there's ships being attacked and there's a storm. And the Pope is on the stern, I don't know my ship language, front of the ship, along with the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, by the way. And, I'm sorry, yeah. No, it's not Guadalupe. I'm switching dreams here. But, okay, he's on the front of the ship, okay, storms attack. There's two columns or pillars. On one is Our Lady, Help of Christians, and on the other is a host. You know, devotion to Our Lady, devotion to the Most Holy Eucharist. In the dream, it was told that if that ship could just get in close to those pillars and moor itself to them, that would save the ship from being destroyed. And so in the dream, it did. The storm calmed down and the ships dispersed. So St. John Bosco prophesied that this is the way that the church will be saved. Now I want to throw in this, and I apologize for repeating myself, but it has to be put into context. You all remember my seminarian days, where I talk about, we were not offered 1 minute, not 1 second, of exposition of the Blessed Sacrament or Eucharistic adoration at any time in my entire seminary training in the 1980s. Can you imagine? And at the time, it seemed normal. You see what I'm talking about, see what I did there? The devil wants to normalize things. My body, my choice, right? All kinds of things. To get us to just go, oh, this is, and I'm going to gag on the two words I'm about to say, this is the new normal. And then we see what's been happening the last year. Just go along, comply, this is the new normal. And so it was in the 80s. This is the new normal. And we don't talk about the Blessed Mother because that was some kind of Dark Ages medieval nonsense. And as I attest, I watched as seminarians were caught with either a statue of the Blessed Mother in their room or a rosary in their pocket, and they were put out. Get out of here, you fanatic. Go see a psychiatrist with your fanaticism. I'm not kidding you. That was seminary training in the 1980s. The beast entered the church. And what did he go after particularly? Awe and wonder, reverence, sacredness before the holy sacrifice of the man. Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. What are you, sitting there staring at a cookie? They could have been saying in the 1980s. And we wonder why that Gallup study that came out on August 5th of 2019 said there's only 30% left that believe that this is the Eucharist, this is body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord anymore. Because along with things like training seminarians like that, you know, in our chapel, I'm going to do the air quotes again. I mean, it was a conference room with chairs. There were no kneelers. Blessed Sacrament was nowhere to be found. It was behind a wall someplace. There's nothing ornate at all. It was walls and chairs and carpet. This is how us priests were trained. And so we bring that training out into our parishes. And we want to be unwelcoming, you know. We want to be welcoming, you know. And so we don't want to be too much for people with all this devotion stuff and this scary sacred offering of the Mass. And here was, I believe, the mind of a lot of the priests and bishops during that time, is that if we make it too serious, people won't want that because they don't want to take it too serious. They don't want to go all in. They want to go part in. Well, can't we just call ourselves Catholics and be all okay for abortion? Can't we call ourselves Catholics and say that an 8-year-old boy can call himself a girl and go off to the surgeon? And you see this throughout all of Catholicism. Because why? Because the tactic was to be welcoming. And so if we ever take it serious, well, we'll lose some people that way. I want to say, have you ever read the Bible? Have you ever read the Bible? Was this Jesus' way? I'm going to tone down the message. I'm going to make sure that I don't trigger anybody for fear that they might turn away and might not join our company. And then comes along John chapter 6, verse 66. John 6:66 says, and many of his disciples, most of his disciples left him that day. And you'll recall after that he turned to his apostles and said, are you going to leave me too? Where are we going to go, St. Peter said. Where are we going to go? You got the words of eternal life. You got the source of all meaning and purpose. Where are we going to go? We're going to follow them into emptiness and darkness? Where are we going to go? And so, you can see what's going on with the enemy, okay? We're the children of light. The enemy is children of darkness and Satan. We got to take out adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. We got to take out any level of seriousness toward the Holy Eucharist. We got to take that out. And we got to take out Mary. Remember, her foot crushes the head of the serpent. God raises up a mere human to be more powerful than the devil. We got to take her out. Devil hates Mary. So, here's what I'm getting at. We need to have this epiphany. What are you trying to tell us, God? And now, we get this Christmas star on the winter solstice, the darkest day of the year. Out of darkness came light. Out of the darkest day of the year, when the last time the same star appeared, 800 years ago, the big event was that the practice of Eucharistic adoration moved out of the monasteries and into the churches. It went viral. Are we listening? Are we listening? St. John Bosco is key. God isn't telling us this. He's shouting it to us. I mean, a super blue blood moon, for goodness sakes. So I want to point now to a very cool thing that's coming up. Y'all remember during this time, and I've been saying we got pummeled by the devil this year. I say we've been punched drunk, by blow after blow from the devil this year. But now we're getting up and we're fighting back. One of the ways in which we did that year, if you recall, is that by the grace of God, Father Bill Peckman went on retreat. And he texted me and says, I was on retreat and I had this idea. I said, well, it must be good if you were on retreat. And that's when the whole thing with Let Freedom Ring began. And I said, we ought to include Altman. He says, yeah, you're right. And so the three of us, Peckman, Heilman, and Altman, put together a 40-day Let Freedom Ring, 40 days for freedom from the devil. And we're actually now going to provide it so that people can do it again. By putting it in book form. Pretty cool. And that's actually, if everything goes right, if there's not any obstacles along the way, we're going to launch it in and around February 1st, which was the only date that Father Peckman and Father Altman were available to come here. And here's what I want to do. We're going to have a beautiful night together. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to do the holy, what I call now the Holy League model. Now, I started out with Nights of Divine Mercy. You all remember this. That we had evenings of reflection, but what did we do? We did a holy hour of adoration, and the priests were in the confessional for confession during that time. What did that do? That got people to fall in love with adoration. It got people back to going to confession at least once a month. I believe that communal penance services trained us out of that, to go once a year. And so I stopped communal penance services. There's all kinds of good reasons for doing it, but that reason alone is a reason we need to stop it everywhere. We need to stop face-to-face in an enclosed area by supernatural grace of God, that if somebody hasn't come out of that enclosed area and accused the priest of something. That's dumb. Anyway, so we're training us. See, we're God's supernatural warriors. We do need to be trained. And what are we doing there? We're training that, yes, Eucharistic, say yes to Eucharistic adoration. After people experience it a few times, they get addicted to it. It's awesome. All right? But we got to provide that so that they can have those experiences. So we've been doing that every first Friday for years, except because of stupid COVID. Right? We didn't do it this year. But we're going to do the same model again this year. And guys and gals are invited. And anybody, parishioner or not, is invited. But we're going to gather together the same model. Exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. Father Peckman, Father Altman, and Father Heilman will be in confessionals and hear your all confessions. Then we'll come back, and then we'll have, I think, about a 15-minute talk from each priest. And then we'll have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, which is amazing. And then, if I'm hoping COVID allows us to do this, I'm pretty sure it will. We're going to have a potluck up at the school, get to be able to meet with Father Altman and Father Peckman, maybe sign books, I don't know, at that time. So this is my call out for volunteers, February 1st. Y'all can hear me, right? And so, but here's what I found cool about that date. You've heard me talk about we're called to be a sign of contradiction. When's that feast? February 2nd. You know what the day before February 1st is? The Feast of St. John Bosco. So we're having like a sandwich there. All right? We're hitting the day, and this is only because this is the dates that worked out for them, and by the grace of God, it's landing between the Feast of St. John Bosco and the Feast of the Presentation. So please mark your calendars for that. I think it's a Tuesday. Or no, it's a Monday night. All right? I think it's going to be a great, great time together. This is a time, my brothers and sisters, I'll close with this, that we are called to be supernatural warriors. We were punch drunk. The blows came one after another. We didn't know what to do. Well, now we know what to do. And I believe, first and foremost, what we need to do is to grab our rosaries and also restore frequent Eucharistic adoration everywhere, everywhere. We're going to be recording that event on February 1st. And I'm hoping that model is picked up and copied all over the nation. Get together once a month for just to do an hour of adoration and confession and then inspiring talk and then bond with each other as social. There, boom, that's it. We're done. So please, if you would, if I could get some volunteers to help with the potluck and whatever else needs to be done with that. Speaking of volunteers too, I want to restore the Knights of the Divine Mercy skull in the biggest way. And, you know, we started out and guys had like one or two kids or none. Now they got like six or eight. And I understand all that. Okay? But I do think this is an important mission, ministry. that inspires a lot of people. First of all, it says, look at those men, those dads, that are willing to pour their heart, mind, soul, and strength into adding to sacred beauty. And at one point, again, before the guys were having their fourth and fifth child, and we were almost 20 strong, we were ready to record a CD. It was just that amazing. So guys, please, this Tuesday night, we really need you for the vigil. And then please be ready too for February 1st for that night. And I plan on engaging too, as much as we're able to with COVID. But I too want to get to all the practices and do all I can to get to that point. And I think we should get to a point where we cut a CD. All right. So here we are, the beginning of the year. And I'll just end with this one. Here's what I'm doing. The Lord set this inspiration on my heart. We need to pray and fast. Here's how I'm fasting. I call it 40-40 for 40. Okay? So what I'm doing is, on Monday night every week, I'm fasting until Wednesday at 6 p.m. That's 40 hours. I'm incorporating the Wednesday day of fasting. And then I pick it up again on Wednesday at midnight through till Friday at 6 p.m. Now, oh, Father, you know, that's amazing you can do that. No, I've been fasting for a long time. That's really not all that challenging for me. But I understand for people who haven't done that for a while that something like that might be challenging, but I'm encouraging, I'm begging. Okay, pray with belief first. Do you believe I can do this? Yes, Lord. It was because of your faith that it was done. We need to pray with faith, but then we need to add fasting, okay? It's a game changer. Add it to our prayers. Whatever level of fasting you're able to do, go ahead and do it. Early in my priesthood, I fasted for 60 days once on water. I lived. But a lot of people can't do that, all right? But we need to add fasting. So, fasting, the rosary, and adoration. These are our most powerful weapons coming now against these tyrants, against this demonic power that's set against us. We've got some amazing things coming up. We're going to be using sacramentals like it's nobody's business, okay? But we're at war. And you are God's supernatural warriors. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.